Hello and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle. I'm the pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this episode of Word Magazine, I am blessed to have another guest with me. My guest with me today is Pastor Miklos Kichudian, who is the pastor of the Soli Deo Gloria Reformed Baptist Church in Budapest, Hungary. And strangely enough, this may be hard to believe, but Pastor Miklos and I met 30 years ago. He was a student at the Hungarian Baptist Theological Academy, or we called it a seminary back in those days. I'm not sure what the proper term would be in English. He's originally from Romania, and he had come to Budapest to study in the seminary. And I was an English teacher there. I was serving a short-term stint through the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention at that time. And Miklos was one of my students. I was just telling him in our pre-podcast conversation, he was one of my best students. He's a polymath. He's a very intelligent man. He speaks Romanian, German, Hungarian, English, as we'll see. And anyways, we reconnected just recently. We went our two different paths, and in the providence of God, he was led into Reformed Baptist confessional convictions, and now as a Reformed Baptist pastor. And I had a similar, though different, path, and that I became a Southern Baptist pastor, and then eventually came to Reformed Baptist confessional convictions. And now I'm a Reformed Baptist pastor. And so we reconnected recently, and I thought it would be helpful to do this interview just to catch up a little bit with my friend and ask him some questions about what's happening in Hungary right now, and really what's happening with the Reformed Baptist movement in Central and Eastern Europe. And so I'm very happy to have Pastor Miklos. So Miklos, welcome to the Word Magazine podcast. Good to have you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Great. So I want to begin. Usually when I have a guest come on, I ask them, first of all, to tell me a little bit about themselves. So if you don't mind, I'll just turn it over to you. Tell me a little about yourself, your family, maybe where you're from originally, how you came to the faith. So let me just turn over to you and tell my listeners a little bit about who you are.
Thank you. I'm Miki Kichudian, as you said. I was born in Romania into a Baptist family. My parents were Christians. So they took me to the church, to the Baptist church, with my sister and brother. We grew up in the church, actually. And when I was 14 of age, God worked in my heart, and he brought me to salvation. Although growing up in a faithful Baptist family and local Baptist church, I felt strongly about my sins, and the conviction was quite deep. And I'm now thankful to the Lord, because that brought about a radical change in my life. I felt strongly, and I was very convinced that the Lord is my Savior, and he wants me to serve him. So after experiencing salvation, of course, through faith in the Lord and through repentance, I immediately felt that I want to serve him with my whole life. Even until then, I served in the church through different means. In those days, the Baptist church had a choir and brass orchestra and other such things. I was involved in all of them, and also in the youth group and so on. So we had several avenues to serve the Lord. And when I was almost at the end of my high school studies, close to graduation, then the Lord led me to consider entering full-time ministry. So first of all, I considered entering a seminary. Now, you need to know that in Romania, there are two Baptist unions. One is the larger Romanian-speaking Baptist union, and there is a smaller one, a Hungarian-speaking Baptist union, which is called the Baptist Convention. But in Romania, there is a large Hungarian ethnic group living there, about 1.5 million Hungarians. So I was part of the Hungarian-speaking Baptist Convention. But at those times, we didn't have a seminary for the Hungarians due to the communists. So in the early 90s, just after the communism has fallen, several of us young men went to Hungary, to Budapest, to study theology. So after my studies in theology, I went back to Romania, back to Arad, to my hometown and home church, and I became a successor of my childhood pastor.
Wow.
Yes, so it was a great responsibility. In 1995, I went back, so I graduated, and in 1996, I married Kinga. Last year we celebrated 25 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have a son who is 21 now, and he's in the Lord now. I mean, he's saved and he's studying at university. And we have a daughter. She's not saved yet. She's also first year at university, which I think would be equivalent at the moment with a college in the US.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I can see that God has richly blessed you in that way. Yeah, you know, I was thinking there might be, you sort of explained it, but there might be people listening who aren't very familiar with the geopolitical historical situation between Hungary and Romania. As you said, I mean, I think a lot of Americans have heard of Transylvania, I guess in Hungarian, it's Erde, that region.
Yes.
Of Romania that at one point was part of Hungary. And when they redrew the lines after World War I, it became part of Romania. And that sort of created tensions. Actually, it contributed to the eventual downfall of Ceausescu in Romania, right? That there were these, that's where sort of the revolt against Ceausescu started among the Hungarians in Transylvania.
Yes.
People remember that historical time. But I remember, you know, it was a fascinating time. I arrived in Hungary in the summer of 1990. The Berlin Wall had happened in November of 1989. And that was the first time that Eastern Europe was opening up for having Western missionaries come in. And I remember it was a very exciting time to be in the country, and the
Yes.
Christians were excited. We'll talk maybe in a few moments. I'd like to ask you about what the state of Yeah. Christianity is now, because my memories are from 30 years ago, and I'm sure it's radically changed since then. But I remember when you Romanian Hungarians came to the seminary. And I don't want to meet, if any of my Hungarian friends listen to this, I don't want to mean any offense to them. But you guys were the sharpest students. I mean, you were really sharp students when you came in, and you could tell the difference. I mean, you were, I don't know, you just had a vigor about, maybe it was just the freedom to come and to be there and to study. But I remember being so impressed with the students who came from the Hungarian Romanians who came to the seminary at that time. Not that there were many fine Hungarian students too. I don't mean to disparage.
Yes, I think yeah, all of our colleagues were blessed by God with
yeah
great minds and great
Yeah.
hearts for the Lord.
There were some wonderful men, and I know that many of those men are out there serving now as mature pastors. So it's wonderful to know that and to hear that. So let's talk a little bit more about the ministry path for you. So you started out in the Hungarian Romanian Baptist Church where you had grown up, but how did you come to Calvinistic convictions and more full-orbed Reformed confessional convictions? How did your ministry path lead you from maybe general Baptist life into Reformed Baptist life?
Yes, I went to seminary in 1991 and finished my studies in 95. But the graduation took place actually in 96. But since 95, I was back in Romania doing two things simultaneously. On the one hand, I was involved in a ministry sponsored by Southern Baptist Americans through the Hungarian Baptist Convention in Romania. Their purpose was to build up an all-age Sunday school or Bible study system for the Romanian churches. So I worked there first. I led the Hungarian group. But at the same time, I was called to the ministry at my former church where I grew up. So I had to work for both. But then after a while, about 2 years later, I resigned from the American Missionary Society or that parachurch organization which helped the Hungarians. And I became full-time pastor at the Hungarian church. But during those years, I was very young, of course, in my early 20s, actually. I became a pastor with 22.
Wow.
Big changes came about because not only the churches, rather the whole society started to change from its communist isolation. It became very open to anything which came from West, either ideas or material issues. So being very poor as a society, everyone thought that we need to catch up with Western prosperity. And so materialism crept into the churches, and the former vigor of spiritual vigor of the churches began to decrease. So we had crises. Not only in the local church, but on the level of the whole Baptist convention. And in during those crises, I tried to find some light or leadership or some solutions. But sadly, what we studied in Budapest at the seminary couldn't help me much. Because the seminary in Budapest was also somehow new evangelical, almost on the verge of some liberalism. So that didn't help me. And I realized quite early that what we studied there wouldn't help in the future too much. At the same, or during those days, difficult days, I got from someone a copy of Ian Murray's The Forgotten Spurgeon. And I read through the book, and that book became providentially a tool in God's hands to open my eyes. I knew about Spurgeon a lot because he was very much quoted by Baptist pastors in Romania. But I didn't know about his theology and about his stance or standing in theology. So after having read that book, I began to study a period, a very intense study of history and theology began. I wanted to know what exactly were our roots, the Baptist roots, how Baptist missions started, how it came from England to the European continent, and how Baptist ministry or Baptist mission started in Hungary and Romania back in the 19th century. So all in all, after those studies, I was very convinced that our forefathers, even the Hungarians and the Romanians, believed in the doctrines of grace and preached the doctrines of grace. And the first Baptist confession which they used was basically built or formulated very, very much influenced by the 1689 Confession of Faith.
Wow.
So my whole theological outlook has changed through that. And the major changes began in my life. Then I discovered that our Baptist brothers and the Baptist Union in Romania is very Arminian, and so on. But that was not the main problem at that moment. I began to preach the doctrines of grace. And at the same time, I want to get rid of the new evangelical and liberal influences which I got in Budapest. So the Lord provided for continuing theological studies in my very hometown in Arad, because Central Baptist Theological Seminary, a dispensationalist seminary actually from the States, from at that time in Minneapolis, now I think in Plymouth, Minnesota, they opened a branch in Arad. So I did my master's in arts and master's of divinity with them. And I began to teach theology both at the Hungarian Baptist Seminary in Romania, which was started in the meantime, and also the American branch in Arad. But again, I had to discover that dispensationalism is not the same as the doctrines of grace and
it's not covenant Reformed theology. Right.
Yeah, it's not covenant theology exactly. But we had a gentleman agreement, and we could work together in different areas. So that went until the middle of the next decade, 2005 or 2006, probably. So, but in 2002, because I saw that the Baptist Convention becomes more ecumenical, the Lord brought up the time when I had to say that I need to leave that Baptist body of churches. So in 2002, I left with my family only, so not with others, the Hungarian Baptist Convention, and we started to plant or pioneer a new church, a Reformed Baptist Church, in Arad, Romania, which was from the beginning both a Hungarian and a Romanian speaking church. Wow. So we had in the Sunday morning we had a Hungarian speaking worship service, and in the afternoon the Romanian speaking worship service.
Wow. Wow. So
that went until 2012, until we moved to Budapest.
And does that church that you planted there in Arad, is it still in existence?
Not self-standing church anymore, because by the Lord's providence, about the same time, and through another brother, there was planted another Reformed Baptist Church, a Romanian-speaking Reformed Baptist Church, we got very good friends, or we became very good friends, and we cooperated a lot. So when the time came for us to move to Budapest, then our small church was integrated into the other Reformed Baptist Church.
Okay, wonderful. So 2012, you leave Romania and come to Budapest with the purpose of planting this Reformed Baptist Church in Budapest. So it's been 10 yes. years now that you've yes. been you've been in the ministry. I want to talk about the church a little bit, but before we get there, you've talked a little bit about how culture and society has changed over the last 30 years. Again, when we met, it was a different world. It was the end of the Cold War. Like you said, things were opening up. And I remember seeing that myself. I mean, I saw all these parachurch ministries coming into Hungary. At that time, I'm not even sure if it still is as it is, but I remember the so-called Hit Gyülekezet, the faith church movement, and there were young people leaving the Hungarian Baptist, the more traditional Hungarian Baptist churches, and going to this. And there was just a lot of, I don't know, there was a lot of turmoil, it seemed to me, that was happening. And of course, the society was changing. I've been back to Hungary a couple times since. And, you know, it's been amazing to see how things have changed there. You know, not all for the best, I'm sure. But how do you see, when you think about the state of Christianity in Hungary and maybe in the Hungarian speaking parts of Romania, how do you see, what is the state of Christianity right now in Hungary?
Let me answer first by mentioning a few things about how it was at the moment when communism has fallen. Mm-hmm. Now, communism was present in Romania and in Hungary, but Christianity or evangelical Christianity was in a different shape in Romania than in Hungary. Mm. Even though it was almost fully or completely Arminian, in Romania it was more conservative than in Hungary. Mm. So just an example, Romanian Baptists preached very strongly repentance, or emphasized strongly repentance and faith in their evangelism. So despite Arminianism, there was a strong emphasis on evangelism and saving souls and starting a new life, and conversion needs to be genuine by sincere repentance and faith. Now, in Hungary, things were different because they started to move towards new evangelicalism already in the decades of communism. Mm-hmm. So when we came to Budapest to study in the early 90s, there already was a difference, and sometimes we were surprised by that difference. Mm. Nowadays, the difference would be less visible because now in both countries, the Western influence has changed many things. Mm. First of all, communism had also a good effect or a good consequence of keeping societies quite isolated from many issues which were peculiar to the theological development in the West during the later 20th century. Mm-hmm. So we were spared a lot of things.
It's true.
Through communism.
Yeah.
But by the fall of communism, we were invaded by everything possible. So all the influences of the different persuasions finally came over to Europe, and they brought much dissent and also tensions in the traditional churches or traditional traditional denominations. So charismatic movement was very strong in Hungary in the late 80s and in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Less so in Romania in the 90s.
Mm.
Another problem which or another influence was modern worship. Almost to the end of the 20th century, traditional evangelical churches had a reverence-based
mm-hmm.
traditional worship, singing hymns, and we had all our old hymn books and so on, our so-called time-honored hymn books. And now that has changed. So in the early 21st century, very rapidly, the evangelical churches, among them the Baptists, have changed to modern worship.
Yeah, I sometimes watch on YouTube some worship services from Hungarian Baptist churches, and I've been struck by how the so-called praise and worship, praise teams, and contemporary music, and projected lyrics, and performance almost based. And like you, when I was in Hungary, in my church, it wasn't Reformed regulative principle, but like you said, it was maybe locked in the 1940s. And I think that if I remember correctly, I think the government limited like the publication of things like hymn books. So like I think it was called the Hit Hangyayi, was the hymn book, and it was all, you know, traditional hymns, evangelical hymns. And, you know, the worship, like you said, was simple. It was reverent. And I can see just what I've seen on YouTube compared to what it was like 30 years ago. You can see the shift that's taken place.
Yes, most of evangelicalism is now influenced by charismatic ideas and traits. I mean, almost all of evangelicalism is infected with continuationism, with modern worship, with low standards of sanctification. So basically, the charismatic movement has exercised such an influence that evangelicalism is now a mild addition or a mild shadow of the earlier charismatic movement.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about your church. And I think that the name of it is the Soli Deo Gloria Reformed Baptist Church. And I was in Hungarian, it's Soli Deo Gloria. Is it Reformatus Baptista Dulicaset or Reformalt? I think I saw that on your website.
It's the second version. It's Reformalt.
Reformalt. So Soli Deo Gloria, Reformalt Baptista Dulicaset.
Yes, the difference is this, that Reformatus or Reformatus is a Latin word. So the national church, the Reformed National Church, which basically looks like the Anglican Church in Great Britain or the Episcopalian Church in the US, is called Reformatus, but it has adapted basically the Latin term.
Right.
What we did, we translated the Latin term into Hungarian, so we got Reformalt.
Okay.
Baptista Gyülekezet. Because we want to make a difference between the national church and the evangelical Reformed Baptist Church.
Right. And for those who aren't familiar with Hungary, correct me if I'm wrong here, but my sense of it is the western part of Hungary had a big Protestant influence. And there was the Reformation came, Debrecen was sort of the Geneva, wasn't it, of the Reformed movement in Hungary, and there are more Protestants, even more Baptists in the Western
part. That's the east part of the country.
Sorry.
The eastern part.
Yes. And then the western part, closer to Austria, is more traditionally Roman Catholic.
Yes. Whereas
after communism, my sense was a lot of people were just secular.
Yes.
People who held to sort of traditional Christianity, they were Roman Catholic in the western part of the country, and more, you said, the Reformed Church in the eastern part of the country, and then Baptist was sort of, and smaller Protestant denominations, Methodists, there were small Methodist groups,
even smaller
sort of classical Pentecostal group, not modern charismatics, but the old style Pentecostals.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course they're Baptists. But anyways, we got just a little lay of the religious landscape, and I can understand why you would want to have a name. I love the fact that it's a Hungarian based name, that it's the Soli Deo Gloria Reformalt Baptista.
Yes.
Gazette. So you started the church in 2012, and as I understand it, this is now the only self-standing Reformed Baptist church in Hungary. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Are there some Calvinistic Baptist churches, but that are not confessional?
Yes and no. The landscape is somewhat blurred, because there are people who are Calvinistic in their theological persuasion, but they are not really Reformed, and many people do not understand the difference.
Mm.
Especially young people in this country who look for more serious things have come to know the doctrines of grace through the American New Calvinist movement, not through Reformed Baptist ministries.
Mm.
So they mix sometimes the terms, and they were glad to know that there is in Hungary a Reformed Baptist church. So we have now several contacts to young people in the Baptist denomination or in the historical Reformed National Church and so on. But here is the difference, that New Calvinists usually are continuationists.
Mm.
Very few of them are cessationists. And here in our country, most of the young people who are fond of Calvinist theology tend to be continuationists.
Yeah.
And of course, with that goes also modern worship usually. Although I do not see a logical link between the two, but actually they usually go together.
Mm.
So if we speak strictly about Reformed Baptist Church, then our church is the only one.
Mm.
And even in the Baptist denomination and the traditional National Reformed Church, I don't know a fully fledged Reformed Baptist church, local church.
Mm.
There are only here and there some groups of mostly young people who don't want to identify with Arminianism anymore, but they don't want to identify with traditional reverential Reformed Baptist piety too. Yes. So
well, if it's any consolation, Pastor Miklos, the same thing happens here. The same thing. We have the same thing. We have people who say, I'm Reformed, and it means they embrace the 5 points of Calvinism, but they don't know the confessional tradition. They don't embrace regular principle worship or the abiding validity of the fourth commandment or, a Reformed Baptist ecclesiology. So we deal with the same issues. Now, thankfully, I mean, a lot of people discover Calvinism through, you said, New Calvinism, and they come to us, and it's an opportunity for us to disciple them. And sometimes they come and that, and they realize this isn't, they might be attracted to Calvinism, but not a more ordered, reformed approach to theology and ministry and life. So tell me though about your church. Your family comes to Budapest. Were there, did you have contacts with people? Did you just start from scratch with nothing, or how did you begin?
Almost from scratch. Now, basically, we were encouraged by the officers of the London Metropolitan Tabernacle to consider to move to a different place. We were still in Arad, and since they knew about the two churches in Arad, two Reformed Baptist churches, they said that, you see, there are many places where there is no Reformed ministry at all. So why don't you consider, or one of you, to move to a different place? I was the younger, and our church was the smaller one in Arad. So, of course, finally, the Lord convinced me that I will be the one who will move from Arad. And then, looking for the Lord's leading, I remembered my days during my studentship in Hungary or in Budapest, remembering that the evangelical cause is in a worse situation than in Romania. So that's why we moved to Hungary. We moved to Budapest, to the capital city. It's the largest city. But in the process of moving here, we came to know a young couple. They were not married at that moment, but soon to marry. And we got to know them. They came from the Ukraine, but Hungarian-speaking people. They were students here, and their home church was more Calvinistic. So they were ready to join us. They married. I baptized them in Romania because they were not baptized yet. I mean by immersion. So, but after that, the two families, they and we, started the ministry, the Reformed Baptist ministry in Budapest.
Wonderful.
In July 2012.
Is that family still in the congregation, or have they moved?
Yes, and the husband is our deacon at the church.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
So your church does hold to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. Was it?
Yes.
Had that been translated into Hungarian? I think I was talking about you earlier about this. I had been trying to find a Hungarian translation of it. I know your church has one based on Dr. Master's modernization of it. So how did you come to pick up in your hands a copy of the Second London Baptist Confession in Hungarian or Romanian? I'm not sure.
Yes, I was still in Romania, and when I was converted to the doctrines of grace, I knew a few people who were already Calvinists. I knew some Presbyterians, for example, and they put me into contact with the Tabernacle.
Okay.
Very sad to say that as a Baptist, I needed some Presbyterian friends to put me into contact with the Tabernacle. But then, I don't know now, I don't remember exactly, but somehow I got into contact with the late Errol Hulse.
Okay.
From Great Britain.
Yes.
And somehow he had an old Hungarian translation of the 1689 Confession of Faith.
Wonderful.
And he sent a copy to me. Now, studying the language, that probably was translated before communism got into Eastern Europe. So, that means before Second World War. But that was lost somehow in Hungary. So what I did was to modernize the language because it was very old, really. And I didn't want to make a completely new translation. I tried to adapt as much as possible. So that's at the present what we use. But in the meantime, which means last year or 2 years ago, two keen brothers from our church retranslated completely now the confession based on the, I think, on the Banner of Truth edition, an older Banner of Truth edition of the confession.
Is that the one that you guys have that for sale off your website, I think, don't you? Are you listed as a resource?
On the website, we still have the one which I adapted in Romania.
Okay. I'd love to get a copy.
The new one is now under editing, and we hope to publish it this year.
Wonderful. I want to get a copy of it when you're done, but we can talk about that. We can talk about that later.
You are welcome to receive one.
Right. So tell me a little bit about the life of the church. I think you said you in our conversation previously, you said you guys started out in a rented space, and but you now have your own building, as I understand it.
Yes.
Where physically is the church located? Where are you in Budapest? Budapest is a big city. It's 3 million people plus. So it's a big sprawling city. Where are you guys?
We are in downtown Budapest now. We moved to the new site 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had one worship service on one Lord's Day in the new building, and then the COVID pandemic started and we were shut down by the government.
Oh my.
But then slowly we recovered, and the government eased on the restrictions, and basically the restrictions in Hungary were not as strict as in Western Europe. So basically we had a period of 2 months in 2020 when we had only online meetings. But then we got back to the church, and since then basically we continue our services.
And you tell me a little bit about the, I guess I'd hate to use the word, program of the church. You have a morning service, afternoon service, prayer meeting, Bible study. When do you guys meet as a congregation?
Yes, we have a morning service on Sunday, which is a teaching service. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, we have another worship service, basically an evangelistic worship service. Mm-hmm. On Sunday. So we believe strongly in proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to listen to an evangelistic sermon. So our main emphasis is on outreach, and that's why we distribute tracts regularly on the streets and in the neighborhood. We do that also on Sundays before the evening service. And we also come together to pray before the service for the evangelistic event and for the work of the Holy Spirit among the newcomers and among the guests.
And did you pick up on that, the idea of a morning teaching service and an evening evangelistic service? Are you following the model of Peter Masters at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in doing that? Or was that a conviction of yours before you had the contact with MetTab?
Yeah, to be honest, two services on a Sunday was always part of the Baptist mission and ministry in Eastern Europe.
Right.
So it was nothing strange or nothing new to have two services on a Sunday. However, happened was that in the last decades, the emphasis on evangelism was almost lost. So we didn't quite know why do we have two services on a Sunday, but we had those always. But then we understood because our forefathers wanted to have a teaching service, of course, to the believers, and one service where people could invite their non-Christian or non-believing friends that they may come to know the Lord during an evangelistic service.
So I interrupted you. That's what you do on the Lord's Day. What about your midweek meetings? What do you do?
We have a prayer meeting on Monday where we pray very concretely or very specifically for the different ministries the church is performing. So it's basically the powerhouse of the church. We support every ministry in prayer before the Lord. And then on Wednesday, we have a midweek Bible study, which is more dealing with more practical issues or with practical series. Because on Sunday in the teaching service, we usually go through a book. We study a biblical book, taking passage by passage. And then on Wednesday, rather taking a series of different practical themes or subjects.
I've listened to some of your sermons online, and I did note that in your Lord's Day morning service, you're doing verse by verse, chapter by chapter, biblical exposition. You're working through books, and I'm guessing that is a fairly unusual thing among Hungarian evangelical churches that you're doing this really, you know, significant systematic scriptural exposition. And you're an excellent teacher.
You are right. Somehow,
I'm right that you're an excellent teacher. Just kidding.
No. You are right that there are few places where there is a passage by passage expository or expositionary preaching, because somehow in our history here in Eastern Europe, topical sermons became popular. I think this is also because there was much evangelism, which was very good during communism. The churches did evangelize, although we couldn't go on to the streets, but within the buildings we have invited people always, and evangelism was always done. So anyway, the topical sermons won the day during those decades. So coming back to an expository, long-term expository preaching and study of the Bible is quite rare in Hungary.
Well, I can see how I think that there will be people who will be drawn to that, because they will want to, you know, God's word is powerful, and people want to hear it exposited, interpreted, explained, and applied. What are the other ministries of the church aside from your meetings for worship and prayer and Bible study? You said you pray on Monday specifically for the ministries of the church. Are there ongoing other types of ministries you have?
Yes, we have a youth ministry. We don't have too many people. I forgot to say that at the moment our church has about 20 members, and
praise God.
Yes, we are thankful to the Lord. And our Sunday morning congregation would be about 30, 35
Wonderful.
People. You see, on the European continent, mission is very different than from the U.S. Secularism is the main religion in Europe for more than 200 years now. And people are very atheistic. Just to give a hint how ingrained is secularism. When we moved in 2012, we just received the results of the census, which was held in 2011. And the information or the details about the religious life in Hungary says that, or said 10 years ago, that 5% of the population is going to the church at least once a month.
Mm.
So 5% mm. once a month. Mm. Once a week would be not more than 2 or 3%.
Mm.
So it's really a hard terrain, spiritual terrain. But we are thankful to the Lord that we saw some increase, and we have a youth work at the church. We are about to restart our children's outreach ministry.
Mm.
And we have also once a month with the men of the church,
mm.
where I try to introduce them to more or to deeper theological issues and contemporary theological issues, and training them also to preach. At the moment we have three men who can preach and do sometime preach, and step in when I need to go somewhere else to visit, or because any other reasons I have to be away. So these are ministries, one hand. Then we have a publication ministry. We translate many of Dr. Master's books. And we publish them in Hungarian. We also have a web shop where we sell those books.
Mm.
And then, of course, we have built up an internet work. We webcast our services and the midweek Bible study. We have a website, Facebook profile, and we want to keep up with those, trying to reach even as many as possible.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's, you know, I'm so encouraged to hear about your work. It's really a blessing. I mean, sort of when I came to Reform Convictions, obviously I thought about my experience in Hungary, and you know, that I didn't think there was any Reformed work there. And so it was so encouraging to hear about what you're doing. And I'm very thankful to see that the Lord is doing this. I'm just curious, given Budapest is an international city, there are lots of people from many nations that are there, like most large European cities. Obviously you have abilities in English and Romanian as well. Do you have any international kind of outreach? Do our services translated into English? Or if someone's listening to this and they're an American or British or Canadian, and they're going to be traveling to Budapest and they want to come on a Lord's Day morning to worship with you all, would there be an English translation they could be part of?
Yes, indeed. We have simultaneous translation for anyone who wants to listen in English.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we have English-speaking members, so we became quite international.
Mm.
At the moment, we have a young man from South Africa. He's here for a longer time, as it seems. So he's one of our English-speaking members now. And we have a young man from Kenya. He's also here for a long-term studying.
Hmm.
Studies, and he's also now a member.
Hmm.
But several of our people speak English, and we have about 4 or 5 people who help us with the simultaneous translation.
Hmm.
We have these devices. Anyone can have one and put them on their ears and be part of the service. So we even recommend to anyone who comes over to Budapest to visit us and be part of our worship, because we can provide English translation.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
I'm just curious also, I mean, given your background, having been a student at the mainline Hungarian Baptist Seminary in Hungary, what has been, and you're coming back now though as a Reformalt Baptista Lelki Pastor in Budapest. Do you have fellowship connections with the General Baptists, if we could call them that, in Hungary? I know you probably a lot of the pastors were your fellow seminary students.
Actually, we don't have too much connection or relationship, official relationship, not at all. So we are an independent standing local church. We are independently registered at the local court. So we are registered as a charity legally, and that gives us a legal frame for our ministry.
Hmm.
But then we have some relationship privately with some of the people, but even that are not numerous relationships. We have somewhat more relationship with people, young pastors or theologians from the National Reformed Baptist Church. They are more open towards us. I was invited or am invited sometimes to different forums or discussion groups where I've been part in a way also to publicize our church.
Sure.
But also to contribute to the general evangelical discussions. So people have come to know about us. We are known in the country now.
Mm.
So basically, we can be found by anyone in the country or in Budapest.
Right. You talked about the relationship with the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church, and they were influential in helping the church get started. And you're translating some of Dr. Masser's books. Tell me about that partnership with MetTab. Do you go there often, or what's the nature of the connection you have with them?
The connection started in 2013 when I first went to their annual conference called School of Theology. And to my surprise, I discovered a few Romanian young people there who lived in those times in London.
Hmm.
Who went there to work from Romania, and they were not Reformed Baptists when they left Romania, but they discovered somehow the tabernacle and got there and remained there and so on. And they were also a part of introducing then me to the officers of the tabernacle. So in 2014, the next year, the tabernacle decided to support me personally and our ministry that way. So since then until now, they support the major part of my salary.
Mm.
Otherwise, it would be very difficult. Before that, I had to work to support my family besides doing the ministry.
Mm.
I have working as a translator for 4 years, translating to Christian magazines from German into Romanian. But the tabernacle stepped in, and then I could give up the civil job or the second job. Concentrating full time on the work of ministry.
That was
in 2014, and our ties have become stronger and stronger through the years. I'm going every year to the conference, except this time with the pandemic when there was no conference. And the tabernacle officers are visiting us quite regularly. Mr. Chris Cooper, one of the elders of the tabernacle, is the one who has often visited us, also back in Romania when we were still there, and also here in Hungary.
Wonderful.
So we had a very fruitful partnership with the tabernacle. And in a sense, we owe them partly that we could buy a building as a meeting place or a church building for our congregation, which is now our home where we meet.
Awesome. That's wonderful. We talked about it. I was at Metropolitan Tabernacle in late November, early December. And it was amazing to see. Of course, they're there in London and it's an international city. And I saw the same thing. Lots of young people who were there from many different nations. You know, I talked to, you know, people from Spain, from Portugal, young people who are there working. And they're kind of discovering, the Reformed faith. They're discovering, you know, Reformed Baptists. They're coming to those convictions, and then, you know, I'm sure those people are going to go back to many places. And so it was wonderful to see that sort of happening. While I've got you, and I was in London talking about an issue that's near and dear to me, and that is the text and translation of Scripture. And that's what people who watch my podcast, that's what I talk about more than anything else. I don't want to dwell on this too long, but while I've got you, I just wanted to ask, is the issue of the traditional texts of Scripture something that evangelical Christians have on their radar in Hungary? And my sense is, when I was there, I saw that there were some people who still used the old Protestant Károly Gáspár translation. And I heard people say, well, it's the language is archaic. And it kind of reminded me of the way the King James Version operates among many English speakers, although there are parts of it that are archaic. So I'm just curious, do people use the Károly Gáspár? I know there was a modern translation based on the modern critical text that I think was just coming out when I was in Hungary in 1990. What's the state of the Bible in Hungary, if I can ask that?
Yes, the old Károly Gáspár is honored among more conservative evangelicals. But the problem is that the language of it wasn't updated since 1908.
Mm-hmm.
So the language is now very difficult to read. And although we grew up on that, and I'm familiar with that, and it's close to my heart, but we see when people come to the church from the world, from outside, it's difficult for them to familiarize with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to use the modern text based on the critical, or the modern version based on the critical text either. So in 2014 or 15 was published a revision of the old Károly, but it's not an ideal revision. It did some very good work. It has updated the language very well. But in the process, they shifted partly to the modern critical text, or to the critical text.
Hmm.
They preserve. I would say they are about halfway between the old text and the new versions. So we use that, but I need to add immediately, we are not content really with that. So there is a desperate...
I was curious if the Trinitarian Bible Society had ever attempted... I wonder what they publish in Hungarian. You're familiar with the Trinitarian Bible
Society still publishes the 1908 version.
Okay. I was curious.
But there is a desperate need for a revision of the old Károly, mm-hmm. based on the Textus Receptus.
Mm. Mm.
I started to work on that, but it takes a lot of time, and I don't know when.
Well, I can't think of anybody who I would probably be more gifted and able to do it than you, given your abilities in language and your understanding of theology. But I also understand what it's like to be a very busy pastor and to be working and maybe not have time for that. But yeah, that's very, I thank you for that update on that. It's interesting to learn. And I pray that maybe in time there would be a good, solid, revision of the Kyrios Gaspar that could be useful for conservative, that would be based on, like you said, both in the Old Testament based on the Masoretic text and the New Testament based on the Textus Receptus, a solid Protestant, you know, translation. I don't want to chase too many, go down too many paths, but I'm also curious, of course, right now, as we're speaking today on the last day of February of 2022, there's a war that's going on in Ukraine, and Ukraine does border Hungary. And I know there's some, just like there are Hungarians who live in Romania, there are also Hungarians who live just over the border in Ukraine. But I'm curious, and I don't want to get into politics, that's not our field, but what are your thoughts about this conflict that's going on right now in Ukraine? And maybe what are your thoughts with regard to, you know, what's happening with respect to the ministry? Are you guys having refugees? What are your thoughts on what's happening right now in Ukraine?
Just in a few words, first of all, we are sad for the situation, and we are never fond of war, of course. War brings much trouble and trials and devastation and so on. So we pray for peace. Now, probably we would have a more qualified view of the situation than usually people have in the West or in the US. So things are not as simple as sometimes the media is presenting it. But even so, we pray for peace. And we have, of course, people coming to Hungary, fleeing to Hungary. I saw a figure today which said about 73,000 already in Hungary who came here. In the church, we have three families, Hungarian-speaking families, who moved here earlier from the Ukraine. They have relatives still there. And of course, we understand the seriousness of the situation, and we pray for them. And of course, we try to help financially too when it comes to that. So at the moment, the families help their own relatives, and they can do that. But we are here for at any moment to step in when major help is needed.
Okay.
So in a few words, I think that's what I wanted to say about that.
Yeah. Well, we join you in praying for peace there. And I don't know if you know this, I have a daughter, my oldest daughter, lived in Ukraine for 2.5 years, was an English teacher there. And she still has a lot of friendships. She went to a Baptist church while she was there. Mm-hmm. We visited her there in 2017. And it happened to be the Sunday we were there, they were having their annual or semi-annual baptism service. They were baptizing 20 converts in the river there that went through the town. And so she's been keeping up through social media and Facebook and Instagram with her friends there. And so it's been a special burden on our hearts to pray for the Christians, the pastors. And as I was telling our church on Sunday, I said, I'm sure that among those Russian soldiers, there are many who come from Christian families too. And so there, it's turmoil for everybody. And anyways, yes. So we're praying for that situation as well. So we're coming towards the end, but I wanted to ask you, you're the pioneer. I mean, you're going to go down the history books as the pioneer church planter, Reformed Baptist church planter in Budapest and in Hungary. What's your vision? What is your hope for the Reformed Baptist movement in Hungary, in Central Europe? What's your hope for this?
When I was younger, I had broader visions, accumulating a lot of experience now in the ministry, but also still praying and believing and hoping for the Lord's work, for the extension of His work in our region and in our countries. Of course, we want to see more and more churches be planted and more people converted. But it's a very slow work here, as I told you earlier. But we already have a church group in Debrecen, in the east of the country, which started in 2017, and I'm visiting them on a weekly basis. And we have also a group in southwest Hungary, in the county of Zala. And I'm visiting them too, not as often as in Debrecen, but others are, the other men from the church are also helping with visiting them. So we have two branches. And of course, our vision is, first of all, to become stronger here in Budapest so that we may support other missions too. In 3 years, I traveled, 4 years, I traveled 100,000 miles. I drove 100,000 miles.
Wow.
Basically to these two locations. And this has taxed me on my nervous system and my energy. So of course we pray and we hope that the Lord will extend this work. But we also need to have others who help in this. So we want first the Budapest church to become stronger.
Sure.
But there are two or three Reformed Baptist churches in Romania. There is one or two in Slovakia. I know of a few in Germany. So basically, here on the European continent, there would be a couple of churches, one or two or three, in each of the countries. I know the pastor in the Czech Republic. He has a small group there. So the Reformed Baptist ministry is still a small ministry in this part of the world. But we pray and we hope that the Lord will extend it, and we try to be diligent on our part.
Well, I see that you have been laboring. You have been laboring, and you know the Lord sees that, and He knows that. He sees in our labor. He will not. What does it say? It says in Hebrews, He will not forget your work. And your love for the brethren. So I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful to rekindle this friendship after 30 years of knowing you. If you have someone in your church who would say felt called to the ministry, where would you send them for theological education? Would you do it within your church? Would you send them to MetTab to start taking classes online? What would be the theological school where you would send your students?
It's not easy to answer to that question, but at the moment we have one young man who is doing the online studies with the Tabernacle Seminary. And then we have another young man who has some contacts to Samuel Waldron's seminary. in America. He is now enrolling there. At the moment, I think he will do online seminary studies with Samuel Walden's seminary.
Covenant Baptist Seminary that's in Owensboro, Kentucky. Yes. Well, that's encouraging to know. Well, as we're coming to the end now, I appreciate so much your time. Can I just ask you just a couple things as we're parting here? I mean, first of all, we sort of talked about this a little bit, but if there's anything else you want to add, how can we pray for you, for your church, and for your ministry? Is there anything specifically you need prayed for right now?
Offering you a picture about our work, our ministry here. You can pray for each branch of the ministry, but we pray especially for the outreach ministry, for faithfulness, both in our practical life and in our theological convictions, faithfulness to the Lord. And of course, the children's ministry, the children's outreach ministry, which we are about to restart again, that lays very closely at our heart or on our heart. So if you can pray for these, that will be much appreciated here.
Okay, we will do that. What about how can people who are listening, how can they follow you? Can you tell us what's the church website? I know you have a YouTube channel. Any other social media that people can follow you and your ministry on?
Most of our internet presence is in Hungarian language, but our website has an English version. So anyone from any part of the world can check our website in English.
Okay. Do you know offhand the address?
The address is the same as in Hungarian, so it's Reformált Baptista, without any accent.
Right, and I think if somebody just Googles Reformed Baptist Church of Budapest, it'll come up on the first couple of search items.
Probably so. Yes, and we are still improving our presence in English language on the net.
Right.
On the internet.
Pastor Miklos, is there anything else that you want to add before we bring this episode to a conclusion?
May the Lord help each of us, you in your ministry, us in our ministry, and every brother and sister in the Lord who is laboring for the Lord. May the Lord bless his work everywhere for his glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being my guest. With that, we're going to bring this. I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
With that, we're going to bring this episode of Word Magazine to a conclusion. I hope that you found this interview with Pastor Miklos to be edifying and encouraging. And I will look forward to speaking to you in the next Word Magazine. Till then, we ask you to take care. And may God bless you.